All right, you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound away.
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
You are listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. Michael, great job on that. That sounds great.
Hey, thanks. I thought we'd mix up the intro for tonight's show since we're on a little bit earlier than we usually are, thanks to our good friend Brian Noonan.
Yeah, Brian's out for the evening. I think he'll be back next week on his regular shift, but got to go around the horn here and say hi to Roger up in the newsroom.
Well, hi, guys. Good to see you again.
Yeah, what's going on, Roger? Nice.
You know, same old, same old. Keeping an eye on the weather for you and watching the sports. Great night, sports. I know you guys are going to talk wrestling.
Oh, well, we got more in store, too.
Yeah,
we'll get into that.
Yeah, brother.
But the Cubs,
oh yeah,
season opener, it all means something now.
That's right.
Yeah.
And also, hi to our great producer, Shantae.
She's behind
the glass there. And Michael, so let's get into who we are.
Okay.
I am Kevin Richter, mostly known as producer of the Bill and Wendy Show.
Mm-hmm.
And you are?
I'm Michael Heidemann. I'm the producer of Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. And we usually sit behind the glass doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes work, but now, you know, we got the chance to be behind the microphone,
yeah,
so it's kind of cool.
We get in here every once in a while. Thanks to Todd Manley and Stephanie Menendez.
So great.
For handing us the reins. But, for those who don't know, we host a podcast and show for the station here called Sound Sessions. So Sound Sessions is basically we're doing music or band interviews of all these great bands that are coming through Chicago. We're talking to all these festivals. So we got everything covered that you need to know for Chicago music.
Yeah, exactly. Sound Sessions is a way that we, you know, getting this fortunate time that we're living in, we got all these amazing bands that come through Chicago, national and local, and we are able to sit down with them and give them a little bit more time to speak about what's going behind the music, you know, get a little bit more intimate. We have a great interview with Wayne Coyne coming up, who's the lead singer of the
Flaming Lips. I want to get into that. But yeah, we're really lucky with all that, and there's always so much good music going on in Chicago. So if you guys, you know, want to check us out, you can find us on Instagram at SoundSessionsWGN. We're on Twitter at SoundSeshPod. Shoot us an email, SoundSessionsPod@gmail.com. You could just look up Sound Sessions Podcast on Facebook, and the easiest, most direct route is iTunes.com/SoundSessions.
Yeah, go on our iTunes, subscribe, and you'll be able to see our full feed, because I think you're only able to see like 30 episodes on the iTunes page. So if you subscribe to us, it'll load automatically, and you'll be able to see all the new stuff we're putting out. We just put a new Lollapalooza and concert lineup, review, and critique, which
is
kinda
cool. With our buddy here from the station, also Pete Zimmerman, who's great. We love that guy.
So it's a really great way to stay in contact with us. And as you know, we always answer every single one of our emails and texts. If you want to text us here at 312-981-7200 here at WGN. And our email again is soundsessionspod@gmail.com.
You have that memorized. Good on you.
I do.
I don't think I do.
I often email ourselves just to see if it's still working.
But I want to say, when we are hosting, like we are on the live airwaves here, we like to mix it up a little more and not just focus on just music. So, for example, we've touched on, I don't know, Crockpots.
Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, Crockpots last time we hosted during the Christmas time, and lo and behold, our number one podcast on that day was on crockpots and recipes for that time.
Yeah, it's always the funny, weird things that you don't expect that seem to blow up like that. So
I think we talked about, you know, we were doing a lot of music stuff, a lot of concert reviews, and a lot of interviews, but the most calls and text messages we got all night was on our crockpot. So we thought maybe we'd fire up the old oven in the beginning of the show now and see
what's
going on.
Well, I want to get to, I think maybe after the break we can get into that, because...
Oh, but I want to do it right now. I'm so hungry.
We got to keep the listeners waiting, Michael.
Okay.
But actually, let's kind of get into what we're going to be doing today. So, like we mentioned, at 6:30, we're going to be speaking with Greg Wyszynski. He's an editor of Puck Daddy Blog for Yahoo Sports, and he co-hosts the Puck Soup podcast. If you're a hockey fan, and just, you know, all things pop culture, it's a really great podcast to be following. And he's live blogging WrestleMania tonight, so... if you're not up on WrestleMania, like we really aren't, but we will be talking to him about it. Yeah, a lot of old throwback names from the WWF days that we'll be getting into with him. And then at 6:45, we'll be talking to...
Well, we'll be possibly talking to Mandy Antonacci, who is a Sports Illustrated writer. She's a wealth of information and kind of takes sports from a different angle. I know you just listened to The Beat here with Carms and Hogue, and what a great show. I love that show.
Oh, yeah, they do a great job.
And Dan Long, the producer, puts together something really, really well. But Mandy, actually, she approaches it kind of from a different, like, business entertainment angle with sports. And we were going to talk to her about, you know, how we're able to market this 108-year-old game to the new kind of 20-year-old or 17-year-old kid who is just finding out the game, or if you know, you just get your first baseball glove and you're trying to see what baseball is all about. Now, that there's so much money going into this, to the Major League Baseball system, so we're going to be trying to talk to her. How about at 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock, our buddy Sam Panayotovich, he is in Glendale covering the NCAA Final Four Championship, which is tomorrow night. I believe it, I mean, I don't even have it all on
that
here.
Lucky dog.
I know, he's just hanging out in Glendale, California, beautiful Glendale.
He posted this great photo of him doing for his broadcast live from beachside, or no, poolside.
I know, must be nice. So he's going to preview the matchup of North Carolina and Gonzaga tomorrow night. We'll also talk a little baseball with him, and maybe, if we have time, a little bit of Derrick Rose with another injury.
Oh, surprise. Derrick Rose is injured?
I know.
No way.
And then moving on, at 7:30, we'll be talking artificial intelligence. Mm. It's a quick turnaround there, segue, but we'll be talking with a professor and chair of business and information technology. I'm not sure where he's at, but we will be talking with him about...
Is he a robot?
That's the angle we're going to be approaching, really.
Well, it's so ubiquitous now, this AI intelligence, from Alexa to the Echo Dot and all these other things, and Siri. Like, we are voluntarily being controlled by these AI kind of robots.
Well, I mean, think about self-driving cars that are coming out now.
Yeah.
Or even, like, there's video games out there that are creating their own universes, like, in real time. It's totally incredible stuff. So
the robots are taking over, Kevin. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah, the uprising has begun. And then we'll have somebody in from Patty Long's, Patrick Berger.
Right.
He's the owner of Patty Long's, talking bacon and beer.
Oh, and come on, you can't get more manly than that. Bacon and beer.
We'll be getting a little bit of hair on our chest from
that
segment.
That's right.
So
we'll talk to them a little bit about our recipes, too.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
We should get into that.
Bacon recipes. That crackle.
And then the to cap it all off, we will be speaking with Wayne Coyne from the Flaming Lips, frontman from the Flaming Lips. They just put out a new album, and they're coming, I believe, was it The Riv? They're going to be in April?
Yep, on the 17th of April at The Riv, and boy, what a great show. I mean, Wayne Coyne to top it off.
Yeah.
And if you don't know who the Flaming Lips are, you're thinking to yourself,
you do.
What's this band? You do. You've heard their music before. They're pretty much in every single movie that you've seen. All the indie darlings will refer to them as one of their inspirations. So we're really looking forward to talking with him. He's a cool guy, so glad he could sit down with us.
Yeah, so with that said, let's take a quick break, and we'll get into it all. You are listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio.
Fruit from the fridge, tomato, sultana, a bowl of porridge, raw melon.
You are listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. I am Kevin.
And this is Michael.
Again, you can find us, Sound Sessions WGN, on Insta at SoundSeshPod. You can email us, SoundSessionsPod@gmail.com. Your easiest, most direct route would be to call or text at 312-981-7200.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of talked about going into the break here. One of our more popular segments ever seemed to be a crockpot segment.
Yeah.
And we were talking to a guest about like new technology in the kitchen and things like that.
Mm-hmm. It was a new kind of crockpot that they were putting out at Best Buy because they were trying to, you know, take crockpots into the new millennium.
I mean,
it's the only way to go is digital.
Well, so, and the concept, we thought was that you could, you know, set up all your ingredients in your crockpot, leave it out, and then as you're coming home or whatever, at lunch, you could set it on your smartphone to start, you know, doing the cooking process.
Which makes perfect sense. I don't know why that they didn't come up with that.
Until we realized, a caller called in and said, well, that's all well and fine, except if you do that, your food's going to be... botulism is gonna form when you're away.
Botulism, you say?
Yeah,
no.
food poisoning. Oh. So that's something you wanted to look out for. And I found this story, and I thought it was totally relevant to us.
Mm-hmm.
Gwyneth Paltrow cookbooks could increase risk of food poisoning, a professor warns. Recipes included in Gwyneth Paltrow's cookbooks include incomplete cooking instructions that could lead to increased risk of food poisoning, North Carolina State University professor Ben Chapman and a group of researchers analyzed 29 cookbooks, including Paltrow's, which is called My Father's Daughter. It came out in 2011, and found that less than 9% of them contained proper information on safe endpoint temperatures or the temperatures that cooked food should reach before being consumed.
Jeez.
So
that's terrible.
Yeah. So with that said, I know we were talking about some of your crockpot recipes and things, and
less than 9% is surprisingly shocking.
Yes, it's really bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, here in this very studio,
yes,
I suffered from food poisoning.
No.
Yeah.
Not at the hands of a crockpot, though, right?
I think it was from a restaurant here in Chicago somewhere, actually.
Oh, jeez.
But I was on one of the graveyard shifts when I was producing that shift at the time, and mm-hmm. it was in the middle of the night, and I knew coming into it I was not feeling right. And in that shift, it's not exactly easy to get a hold of someone to fill in for you, you know,
because people
are sleeping.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's usually like a favor if you're doing that kind of shift for a fill-in, so I could see that it would be kind of hard. So you were here in the dead of night.
The dead of night.
No one around you, by the way. There, you know, we're here in the Allstate Showcase studio with people all around us right now because it's nice and light outside, but once it gets dark in Chicago, people are inside, so you're there by yourself.
Right. It's just you and the host and maybe a news person. So things were not going well. I couldn't even keep down water. And the problem there is when I'm working those overnight shifts, I like am fueled by caffeine. So I'm drinking as much coffee as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't keep the coffee down. So I'm, you know, I'm struggling to stay awake, feeling terrible. I was trying to like take a nap at a certain point in the green room. It was just not a fun night. Have you had a similar experience ever?
Oh, geez. Never where I had to take a nap in the green room, but I've definitely felt like that on other nights, though. Yeah, it's food poisoning is a very real thing, and it's scary because, you know, I follow a lot of cookbooks. It's cookbooks and Pinterest is where I get my recipes from.
Yeah, the internet is good for that.
Yeah, and one night when they gave me the keys to the WGN news truck.
Oof,
and
luxurious.
I thought so, yeah. It was a fantastic car. I was really excited about it, and I had to take photos all the way in the small town, which will remain unnameless. And I got there, and I was a little bit hungry, so I thought, Michael, you're made of an iron tank. You might as well just stop at this gas station and get two hamburgers for $3. It's a great deal.
Okay, two red flags there. One, okay. Gas station hamburgers. Number two for $3.
I don't see what you're getting.
Okay,
What point are you making here?
Well, I'm just saying there were some red flags involved there.
Are you saying that a gas station hamburger isn't the highest quality of meat?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But it had a red light over it.
Oh.
That's how it was.
Maybe another red flag.
So anyway, I gobbled these hamburgers down, and they were, you know, they were good at the moment. They were cheeseburgers, and let's just say by the first hour in, Have you ever swallowed razor blades before? Because that's what it felt like.
I can't say I have.
It felt like I swallowed a whole handful of razor blades, and my stomach was being cut up by this. The worst pain ever. So now I need to drive back an hour and a half in the WGN news truck to go back to the studio to drop it off while I couldn't even breathe. I was sweating.
Ugh.
I was like, I don't know what to do. You get that feeling where you want to get up into the fetal position when you're driving the car. And let's just say I made it back in time. But boy, those next 2 days were – I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not a fun thing to be suffering from. So
no.
What we have learned here, one, try not to be working overnight at a radio station while having food sickness. Two, stay away from gas station cheeseburgers. And three, do not trust Gwyneth Paltrow's cookbooks.
You can't. I will no longer trust Gwyneth Paltrow on her cookbooks. Because it's interesting. It says later in the article, you know, I wanted to see that it was quoted as saying, I wanted to see if the Gwyneth Paltrow recipe somewhere that we knew that chicken is done when it reaches 74 degrees Celsius. It provides the temperature and how long it should be cooked for. But while that is good information, it doesn't mention what temperature it should be ended at. If that makes sense to you, it needs to be cooked thoroughly. So when you get these like little bits of information, you think that you're making it correctly, you could be feeding somebody some really devastating food at the end of the
day. Yeah. Well, with that said, I mean, we only have a brief minute here before we go to break, but last time we did this, you kind of shared a recipe of yours of a Michael recipe, but
yes,
we kind of came to find it was actually all pre-made ingredients that you just kind of swapped together. Do you have anything new that you can kick out in like 30 seconds to a minute here that you can think of, a new crockpot recipe?
Absolutely.
Michael's specialty?
Sound Sessions, put your ears to the microphone here for this new recipe of my crockpot. So I've got, here we go. Last time I gave you a bean recipe, this time we're giving you pulled chicken.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this pre-made in the container before you get it, the pulled chicken?
It is.
Oh,
it
okay,
is.
Okay.
Well, you got to get it pulled. I mean, I don't know how to cook a chicken yet, but when I do, I'm going to make it great. So anyway, you get the pulled chicken, you put it in there, sizzle up that nice grill, as you can hear right there. Make sure it's nice and hot. Then you pour the beans over it, and here is...
Wait, there's beans in your pulled
there's
chicken?
Always, there's always beans in my
so,
recipes.
Okay, now
and,
I know.
And then you throw a little diced tomato into it. Yeah, that makes it nice and saucy and juicy.
Sounds good.
And then you fire up some, not tamales, what am I thinking, tortillas. You heat them up nice and tight.
Okay.
Put the chicken, and when it's all done, and the beans and the tomatoes on there, and there you go. Chicken tacos. Done. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
So your chicken tacos consist of pre-made beans.
Yes.
Pre-made pulled chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Canned tomatoes. And a package of tortillas.
Yes.
Okay, there you have it.
That's correct.
As long as we're on the same page.
If any listeners can outdo me on my crock pot recipe, I'd love to see them try. This is a challenge to all of Chicagoland and elsewhere. Who can top my crock pot
Michael's
recipe?
Kicking chicken tortilla things.
That's what they're called.
Okay, great. Well, good.
Copyright.
On that note, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. I am Kevin.
And this is Michael.
We're going to get to the news in just a second here. I just wanted to address a couple quick texts here. From the 847, chicken should be done at 160 degrees.
Oh, okay. I wish Gwyneth knew that by
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that was it. I always just go by the look. Okay, it looks done.
Yeah, thanks, Keith.
Thank you, Keith, from the 847. And from the 312 says, Kev, it would have been funnier if you had said it was something Wendy made. See, here's the thing. I'm not going to lie about that, first of all. I wouldn't put that on Wendy because I've had her food and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be fair.
It would be blasphemous if Wendy would make everything.
I'm not
going
to throw
bad.
Her under the bus like that.
You can't
that.
Do that.
Like Bill would.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
That's right, everybody. It's Lemmy? WrestleMania time.
So heavy. Love it.
So, it's that time of year, everybody. WWE is doing their WrestleMania 33.
I can't believe that.
Huge number. We wanted to quickly get to a quick text message. We were talking about crock pots, as we always do here on Sound Sessions with Michael.
And Kevin here.
And we wanted to just mention from the 630, crock pot pork tacos or barbecue. Pork roast with chipotle peppers, cook on low 8 to 10 hours, shred and fill tortillas, or add barbecue sauce. Mm.
Sounds like a treat you could be enjoying during WrestleMania.
That sounds like a total WrestleMania kind of meal. I love that. Thanks from the 630.
So speaking of our WrestleMania coverage here, we're joined on the phone by Greg Wyshynski. He's the editor of the Puck Daddy blog for Yahoo Sports, and he's the co-host of a really great hockey-themed but not just hockey podcast called Puck Soup. Hey, Greg, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So are you typically a WWE or WWE fanatic, or is this just a one-off thing you're kind of doing here?
I wouldn't say that it's a one-off thing. I would say that I'm a fan, but not on a – I'm going to try to put it in Catholicism terms.
Okay.
Like, I don't just go to Christmas and Easter, but I don't also go to church every week, if that makes sense.
Okay, I'm following you. That's pretty funny. So,
got it.
Now I'm reading up on this, and this kicked off – 4 o'clock Central Time. That's
Yes. That's
a long event. Have you been following the whole thing?
Yeah, pretty much. They do some of the matches that they have. They put on the pre-show to try to get people to buy the network,
mm-hmm.
which is the big change that's happened in wrestling in like the last 30 years is the fact that
Oh, right. This
used to be the pay-per-view thing. You had to go to your buddy's house and watch it, or spend like $59 to get it. But now it's actually available as part of your WWE Network subscription. So you get actually all the pay-per-views and stuff, and it's no longer – they shifted their business model a few years ago. And I guess it's worked, whatever, but like that's why some of the matches are on early.
So do you think that model, or I guess the paying monthly, is worth it? I mean, you're getting all those pay-per-views, and one pay-per-view itself, it could easily be, what, $50, $60?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but no, I think it was out of necessity, right? Because like, not only is it a network where they have – all this other programming to promote the wrestlers and promote their product and stuff. But like, we're at a point where nobody pays for anything anymore.
True.
So like, I've definitely watched like MMA events on Periscope, not having had paid for them. So I think they know the writing on the wall. Everybody was able to find a legal stream anyway. So better to just try to do it this way, get ahead of the curve a little bit, and not be that dependent on buy rates anymore for pay-per-view. I think it was probably a smart decision at the end of the day.
Absolutely. It's genius. You know, when I was searching on WWE on Google today, the first like five matches were how to get it for free. So I can see that it's very much still alive, and it's a good idea. I mean, if you are a fan, and obviously if you carried over this historic kind of legacy, wrestler fan is kind of what you see today. Like, I mean, I'm a child of the '90s. I know Kevin, you are too. So you see these wrestlers like Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Andre the Giant, The Big Show, who are back in action here at WrestleMania. It's kind of cool to see. I saw that there was some huge news that happened with the Battle Royale, which was in honor of Andre the Giant with with a Patriots player. In fact, what happened there?
Yeah, so the Battle Royale is, you know, just basically every wrestler who couldn't get his own match gets to be in the ring and do something. And at the end of the match, or during the match, there was a wrestler named Jinder Mahal who threw, I guess, whatever Rob Gronkowski was drinking back on Rob Gronkowski and sort of missed him, but got enough on him where he got angry. And so he tries to enter the ring because his buddy, Mojo Rawley, who used to be an NFL player, actually played college football at the University of Maryland, was in the ring. And so it comes to pass that Rob Gronkowski gets involved in a WWE WrestleMania Battle Royale and saves the day, as it were. And so this is sort of...
It's like the most Gronk thing ever.
There's nothing more Gronk than jumping into the Battle Royale, shirt off, just like after getting a drink thrown at him, and then just taking everybody to town.
But from a business perspective, it's interesting for two reasons. One, WrestleMania obviously is the place where they have the most celebrities get involved in these matches. I mean, it's sort of been a tradition that they have, like, famous non-wrestling people get involved. But more importantly, like, they've had the WWE has had sort of a working relationship with ESPN for the last couple of years, where ESPN kind of covers the business of wrestling and that kind of thing. So this was a extraordinarily calculated move to get some SportsCenter FaceTime tonight for WrestleMania. And without question, it's going to work.
That's a genius idea. I didn't even think about taking it from that angle.
And his personality lends itself so well to, I mean, I could honestly, after Gronk retires from the NFL, I could totally see him getting into this.
You know,
it seems like a no-brainer.
He already has the wrestling name, The Gronk.
The Gronk.
I mean, what's more WWE than that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Lord knows he could probably cut a promo, and he'd be perfect for it.
Yeah.
I heard that Shaquille O'Neal was supposed to make an appearance there tonight. Why didn't he show up tonight?
You know, I don't know the exact reason for it, but I do know there was some talk that, you know, he was supposed to fight The Big Show, mm-hmm. and there was some talk that maybe The Big Show was in slightly better shape than Shaq is at this point in their respective careers.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
Yeah, maybe that wouldn't have been the best idea for him to show up in the ring. But, you know, these things are always rumored, and then they change them on a fly, and
yeah.
Who the heck knows?
Yeah,
but,
I think.
But you know, we actually covered that on Puck Scoop this past week. The long legacy of celebrities being involved in WrestleMania, yeah. And from a hockey perspective, Dominik Hasek was actually at a WrestleMania in Detroit once.
That also makes sense, actually.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, let's talk about some of these names, because it seems like there's a really healthy mix of like the new and the old. I mean, the headliner, I guess it's the headliner, is Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. You got Randy Orton. You have Triple H, Shane McMahon. John Cena's going to be there. Chris Jericho. I mean, like we said, The Big Show. So do you think they're trying to kind of market this to like people from like our generation, the 90s wrestling generation, or why would they be doing this?
Yeah, no, I think that's, I mean, listen, they do whatever they can to try to, you know, maximize the viewership for these things. And the easiest way that it's always been is nostalgia. I mean, nostalgia has always been the easiest selling point. So they dig up the gray bones of Goldberg, and lo and behold, people were still really interested in him. And he hasn't wrestled a match more than 3 minutes long, but here we are. People are genuinely interested to see if he can beat Lesnar for like the billionth time. And so
he's 50 years old, by the way, Goldberg.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of tradition to have a combination of the old and the new. And you know, the cool thing about wrestling, I've only been to one where they had it in Miami. I went to it, and like, it is this gigantic celebration of weird misfit like-minded people. Like, they have 70,000 people at this thing tonight, and like, you go to this event and it's all walks of life. It's all different backgrounds and ethnicities and political persuasions and everything. And at the end of the day, it's just a bunch of grown men walking around in T-shirts that are too tight with championship belts. and it just becomes a celebration of this weird corner of the culture where, you know, it's offensive. And sometimes when you tell people you're a wrestling fan, they think you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. But everybody on site there is having the time of their lives because they're among their own people.
Yeah, you know, it's often been stated that wrestling is almost like the Macho Man soap opera, you know, because if you think about it, the way that they carry out these through lines of plot twists.
Oh my God, yeah, so dramatic.
And this villain is now becoming the hero and his rise to fame and everything. It's very, very dramatic for the male audience, and I think that's so interesting the way that they were able to carry it through because, I mean, WrestleMania 33, this has been around since it's the oldest sport that there is.
It's also interesting to see how it reflects the culture through the years.
Sure.
I mean, like, you know, for example, you mentioned it's a very sort of male-dominated fan base, and that mm-hmm. might be true, but I think that it has a very large contingent of women who watch wrestling, not only because of these guys being in a remarkable shape, but also because they've taken pains to turn a lot of the women wrestlers into like champions and actual athletes instead of just being eye candy. Like they used to call the actual belt the Divas belt and they dropped that and now call it the Women's Championship. So it's an interesting reflection of culture through the years. And at the end of the day, it is sort of, like you said, the male soap opera that, you know, you're either going to go with it or you're not going to go with it. You know,
yeah.
there's no middle ground with wrestling.
So aside from Gronk, has there been any highlights that we should know about?
No, not really. I mean, they opened it with Shane McMahon, you know, the owner's son, who is famous for doing these matches where he does crazy stunts. And he had one that he's sort of used before in this match against AJ Styles. But that's it. But we're very, very early in the process here. I mean, it's going to be a marathon tonight, not a sprint.
I was going to say,
It should be fun. I mean, they always surprise you, at least in some way. Maybe it's not going to be the thing you want to see, but it's, you know, they try to throw you a little bit of a swerve at some point.
I was going to say, what time will it end? What time will the headlining match go on? Is it like 9 or 10?
I think we're thinking about maybe pushing past 11 towards midnight.
Wow. Know?
Yeah, it's a heck of a thing. I mean, it really all depends on how long the other matches take and how they time manage and stuff. But the thought is, according to the promos that we've seen, that it'll be the Undertaker's match against Roman Reigns that might actually be the headliner tonight.
Another guy I can't believe is still going. That's insane.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's got to be over 50, too.
Yeah.
He's over 50. There's a certain, at least in the room I'm in here, there's a certain amount of trepidation about how humid it is in Orlando and how he'll be able to handle that.
it's not a happy day when the Undertaker's makeup runs down his face. It's like,
not good at all. And also the runway from the back to the ring is roughly, I would say, about a mile and a half long. So I'm also worried about that as well.
I love that we're talking about wrestling, like the most macho thing that there is, and we're just worried about how Undertaker will make it down the runway, or if he will or not, without a walker.
Yeah, and not only that, but also talking about the health of the guy who's dead. I mean, that's the whole thing.
That's a good point.
I love it. You know, we were talking about this a little bit before the show, and we see that WrestleMania is kind of like, with all these sports events going on, I mean, there's the Cubs opener, there's
Final Four Championship tomorrow.
You got
WrestleMania, yeah.
So many things. And WrestleMania is kind of like the Puppy Bowl, or this show right now focusing on it is like kind of like the Puppy Bowl
of all the action going on, yeah.
So if you're not into those sports, you can tune it over to here, and you can talk about WrestleMania with us. In fact, I wanted to know, buddy.
It's huge. I mean, it's huge, right? Like every trending topic on Twitter right now is WrestleMania related. It is the one event where even if you are someone who kind of dips their toe into what's happening in wrestling, depending on, you know, what your friends are talking about or whatever, you're probably watching it in some way, shape, or form, or at least cognizant of it. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool event every year, and it never fails to impress you in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, Greg, we're talking with Greg here from the podcast Puck Soup, talking about WrestleMania. Now, can you give us any perspectives? Who do you think is going to be taking the belt home with the Lesnar-Goldberg match tonight?
I think Lesnar's going to win. I mean, they've put Goldberg over him a few times now, and I feel like maybe when you take a step back and think about how these things are done, it has to be a situation where they're like, listen, Brock, you're a monster, and we're letting this old man beat you up constantly. So on the biggest stage, we'll let you get one back. And there's also been talk about him maybe holding the belt for a good amount of time until maybe even next year. So I have a feeling he's going to go over Goldberg in this one. It'd be hard to imagine that they're gonna have him lose yet another time in a quick match with this guy.
Well, you know, I wanted to do a quick roundabout around the news horn here. Kevin,
yeah,
favorite wrestler of all time.
Oh my God! I mean, it's got to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, right?
Yeah.
Is that such like a cliche answer? Yeah. Or him or Goldust, just because he was so weird.
Goldust, man, face of gold.
What about you?
I immediately am thinking Stone Cold Steve Austin, but I remember my first favorite wrestler was Papa Shunga, who was from the 1980s, and he would come out and make people bleed black gold.
Oh, I do remember this guy. They were like vomited.
Yeah.
So he was pretty great. How about you, Greg?
I would go with Austin overall because I just think that he sort of redefined the business, and there was never a time when he wasn't interesting. But my personal favorite of all time is Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh,
because, Lamont's own.
You know, the combination of being able to cut the promos and and be a bad guy, and also just like he was a great worker in the ring too. I mean, his WrestleMania 3 match against Ricky Steamboat, withstands the test of time, even by today's standards, is a match for the ages. So I would say Macho Man is probably my guy.
Did you ever see his The Cream Always Rises promo video?
Yes.
He's got a little coffee creamer that he keeps like pulling out like from behind his ear, and like he's doing weird like illusions. It's the weirdest thing ever. It's so funny.
Yeah, he was one of the first guys that showed me that like you could have a gimmick and you could be really good on the mic, but you could also actually be a pretty good athlete too, and not just a big fat stumbly guy that gets kicked in the face twice by Hulk Hogan at the end of the match.
Oh man, well, Greg, where are you watching it tonight?
Oh, I'm watching it here at my buddy's house.
Nice.
I'm mooching the network off of him, but I'm also doing a live vlog on Yahoo Sports.
And what's the easiest way to access that?
I think if you head to Yahoo Sports, you should be featured there. But also, it's on my Twitter feed. It's WYSHYNSKI is the Twitter, and so me and my buddy Chris are banging away at the old live blog, making snarky jokes about grown men.
Sounds awesome.
we had our own Adam Hogue from WGN mention that you have a great Twitter feed, so if you want to go and find him, make sure you follow Greg over on his Twitter.
Yeah, at Wyszynski. Two Y's.
That's really kind of him to say, but I do find myself arguing with people about stupid hockey things too many times, and usually they have like 53 followers, and I've been told not to do that as often as I do, but I can't help it because like I grew up in New Jersey, and like they taught cynicism in kindergarten, and all I know is fighting on the internet.
I love it. You know, we have a quick text from a listener from the 951. I'm not quite sure who 951 is, but I guess he used to eat lunch with Randy in high school.
Yeah, Randy's from Lamont, Illinois, originally.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because you know what?
Macho Man.
You know, speaking of, we're a music podcast, so we've had a lot of interviews with artists who are actually into wrestling. And
yeah.
The guitarist from Every Time I Die.
Oh, yeah.
Is a huge fan. He went to Lamont, Illinois to go because there's a memorial to Randy Macho Man Savage down there.
Is there really?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, it's the best. And like, you know, like you said, we all grew up kind of watching it, and then eventually you kind of figure out what the business is. For me, the moment when I was a kid, when I realized what wrestling actually was when my dad had to explain to me how Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Iron Sheik were both in the same car and got pulled over on the Jersey Turnpike with weed.
Like, no way.
But they hated it. Like Hacksaw Jim Duggan is an American hero. And the Iron Sheik is not.
Oh, my God.
Together?
And
my dad basically had to give me the wrestling birds and the bees talk about, like, why that this is happening and how it's all scripted.
That is so funny. Well, anyway, we won't keep you from all the action. I don't want you to miss, you know, Undertaker or Shane well, you already saw Shane or you know, Goldberg or anything yet. So we'll let you get back to it. Again, this is Greg Wyszynski. Check out Puck Daddy Blog on Yahoo Sports and Puck Soup Podcast. Greg, thanks for your time, man.
Cool. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, take care. If you're not listening to us, WrestleMania tonight, there's also the Cubs kicking off soon. So we're also going to, after the news coming up, we got to take a quick break, but we're going to talk to Sam Paniatovich from Glendale about the Cubs, Sox, NCAA tournament. There's a lot going on, aside from us, of course.
Yes, of course. And make sure you get your calls in for that. Sam is going to be taking some calls. We're going to be talking all sports in the next segment. And we got some texts here talking about some wrestling, some favorite wrestlers of some of our listeners, as well as some people who are were from Illinois, so that's kind of cool to always see, you know, a little bit of those memory lanes.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and get to those texts. You're listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio.
Hey, welcome back. You are listening to Sound Sessions on WGN Radio. You can find us at iTunes.com/Sound Sessions. You can stream us live on WGNRadio.com, and you can email us at soundsessionspod@gmail.com.
Or if you want immediate interaction, text or call at 312-981-7200, as some people have done.
Yeah, speaking of that, we just got done talking to our buddy Greg Wyszynski about WrestleMania 33, and now we have way too many texts to get through because you guys are fantastic and you keep streaming through our text screen at 312-981-7200. But one that stuck out that I really liked was, what about Don Eagle? Kevin, are you familiar with Don Eagle?
I'm not up on Don Eagle.
Don Eagle was a great wrestler who dressed in the headdress. He was known as Chief Don Eagle, in fact, a Mohawk Native American professional wrestler during the 50s and 60s.
Huh.
And yeah, I know. I can't believe you haven't heard of him, man. And we actually... he has a memorial on the Wall of Fame at Downers Grove North High School.
Yeah, he's a local boy. Macho Man. Yeah.
See, there's so many great wrestlers that come from this area that I'm excited to see. You know.
Now, have you ever gone and seen a live wrestling event before?
Yes, I saw Stone Cold in the 90s with my dad and my brother Adam.
So I went maybe 2007, 2006. I went to one out in, I want to say it was the Allstate. And, you know, in between their live feed, they do like things, interactive things with the fans, and they put you up on the big screen.
Yeah.
Well, I made a sign.
No.
I made a sign.
Okay.
And my favorite wrestler at the time was Shawn Michaels, you know.
R.I.P.
No, he's still alive.
Oh,
isn't he?
not R.I.P. He's still alive.
Well, he doesn't
R.I.P. as far as his
but he was
career.
He was the Heartbreak Kid and all that. And his song was I'm Just a Sexy Boy. That was like his theme. So I made a sign. Why are you laughing? You don't even know what it's
sorry.
Said.
Okay.
You don't even.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know if I want to. Now,
no. Go right ahead.
So I made a sign that said, "I'm just a sexy boy," and sure enough, I got up on the big screen in front of thousands of people, and the announcer says, "Yeah, I don't know about that," and then they cut away. Like I didn't even have a shot to like defend myself. But yeah, here it is. This is the song.
All right, here we go.
I'm just a sexy boy.
Down there in row 19, seat AB, we have little Kevin with "I'm Just a Sexy Boy." I don't know about that, brother.
I got ripped on by thousands of people. It was ridiculous.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry to hear that. But at least you're a true fan, though.
Yeah,
you made the sign and everything.
You know, that sign took a solid, like, hour and a half, 2 hours to make. It's a lot of, like, you know, marker work and all that, but...
How much glitter did you use on that
Well,
sign?
Come on. I wasn't...
I'm sorry.
No glitter.
I'm sorry. That's awesome.
I feel like you're not taking me seriously.
No, I am taking you seriously. Okay. I am. I mean, Shawn Michaels, he's a great guy. See, but that's, like, the thing we were talking about, that it's kind of a legacy thing. You grow up with wrestling, and that's why it's still such a draw today, and that's cool.
So,
I mean... I did the same kind of thing when I went to Stone Cold's show and stuff. We used to make signs every time.
Yeah,
but we were always
in
like the back row, so we no way we could get on the scoreboard.
Well, like you had mentioned, we are today kind of like the puppy bowl for all the sporting events that are going on.
Yeah.
So we have the WrestleMania, which we covered with Greg Wyszynski. And coming up after the news, we're going to be talking to Sam Panayotovic. We're going to be covering all things from the MLB season kicking off to the Final Four, the championship tomorrow, championship game.
Huge.
And then also some news out of Derrick Rose's camp. So... You are listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. I am Kevin.
And this is Michael.
You can find us here at 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text. We're joined by our buddy, Sammy P., Sam Panayotovic. Sam, where are you right now?
I am courtside at the Phoenix Suns Arena. They're about to take on the Houston Rockets. I actually just took a picture with the Gorilla. Remember the Phoenix Suns Gorilla?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, he's here. He's hanging out. He's got photo ops here. He's signing autographs. I don't know how. He doesn't have imposable thumbs.
He's a big draw, though.
So you're not even there for that.
Are we going to talk about the best Led Zeppelin album, too, or are we just talking all sports?
Well, we can. We can get into that. Whatever you want, Sam. So where do you want to start with all this? What's most relevant to you right now?
Well, I think most relevant is what I'm here to cover, Kevin, you know, the Final Four.
Let's
think
get into that.
The best teams in the country. It's the game that I wanted from the start. I didn't pick Gonzaga, Carolina. I picked Kentucky and Gonzaga. But it's really David against Goliath. You talk about a program in North Carolina that has multiple championships. And even though Gonzaga is number one in their region and they're here for a reason, they still are, in the eyes of many people, they're David right now. I mean, they've never been to the Final Four. This is their first appearance in the title game. So it's like big brother, little brother, and I'm pulling for the little guys, to be honest with you.
That's great. You know, the cool thing about Gonzaga is, you know, if you filled out a bracket before, at least for the last 10 years, you've always seen them number 16, number 16. What was it about this year that really boosted them up to number one?
Well, Mark has been there 18 years as the head coach, and he's been to the tournament 18 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty successful rate at Gonzaga. But this year, to be perfectly honest, they finally got the players. I mean, they've got two guards in the backcourt that can probably play in the NBA. They've got some great wings. They've got depth off the bench. And if you guys haven't seen them yet, their big center, the Polish kid, Karnowski, he is 7'1", 305 pounds. And that is a lot of pierogies in that body. He's a huge dude. He's got a big beard.
Oh, yeah, I know.
A lovable bunch. It's just a fun team to watch. And, you know, when talent matches chemistry, it's a good thing. And that's what they've got going right now, of course, during the championship game tomorrow night.
Yeah, that center is enormous. He doesn't look like he should be in college, though. He looks like he should be, like, selling something on the side of Michigan Avenue. He looks like a good 40.
And you guys will appreciate this. You know how when most players check in, they run to the table, they kind of tap the table, and then they sit on the ground, like, in a very gingerly motion?
Mm-hmm.
He checks in, and he, like, falls and flops on the floor and rolls around. It's very comical. It looks like a big baby seal.
So we got to know who are you picking in this matchup tomorrow?
Well, I'm picking Zaga to go the whole way, so I can't change that now, can I? I mean, that'd be a crazy move.
Yeah, you certainly can't.
And before the season, they were actually in Las Vegas. They were 70-1 to win the whole thing.
Wow,
they were a long shot coming into the season, and right now, they got a really good chance. The spread in Vegas is 1. So flip a coin. But I'm going to stick with the pick. I'm going to go with Gonzaga. I'm rooting for them. I picked them, so let's stay there.
That's awesome. And will you be doing any, like, live coverage from the event tomorrow?
I believe I'm going on with Steve Cochran tomorrow morning. I know that they've got me. Maybe if you know anybody with Phil and Wendy, maybe I can get on that show.
Oh, man, I don't know. We're pretty booked, so I don't know.
Download. And then Tuesday morning on the Cochran show as well. But it's been a great trip. I make it pretty much every year, and it's a lot of fun for me.
That's awesome. It's such a cool thing to be at the big dance, too. What's kind of like the scene there right now? Are people gathering in? Do you see nothing but jerseys? What's the fanfare look like?
Yeah, well, it's funny to bring that up because it was the second largest attended Final Four in the history of the event.
Wow.
77,000-plus in the arena in Glendale. So on the Saturday, it's obviously four fan bases. So we saw Carolina blue. We saw South Carolina red. We saw Oregon green. And we saw Gonzaga purple. That will obviously get cut in half for tomorrow because the two fan bases go home. But it's just been jam-packed. The construction is around the stadium. They've closed down, like, pretty much every entrance to get on the highway. So it's a big-time cluster as far as getting from point A to point B. But you can't really match the electricity of the Final Four in college basketball. I would say maybe the national championship in college football. But remember, that's just one night. This is an entire weekend. It starts with the party on Thursday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Games are on Saturday and Monday. And you got people coming from all over the country to watch basketball.
It's pretty exciting. So, Sam, how much are we good to have two segments with you here?
Whatever you want. Whatever you want.
Excellent.
I am on a retainer, though, so I will be something to collect as soon as I get back.
All right, Shantae, could you write these numbers down for us real quick? We're going to owe Sam a few extra bucks for this.
Well, let's
I'm charging 867-5309. That's my bill.
Well, okay, before we go to break here, then with you, we'll come back and do a second segment with you. But before we go to break, so Derrick Rose facing another knee surgery. Is this guy, like, the most just cursed athlete in sports? Is he not preparing well? I mean, what's going on with Derrick Rose?
Yeah, I've talked about it, Kevin. I think he's the biggest what-if athlete in the history of Chicago sports. You know, the youngest MVP ever in the NBA. This kid was a bona fide superstar in the making when he was 22 years old. And unfortunately, his body's betrayed him. I don't think that he doesn't train. I don't think it's anything like that. It's just bad luck. Two torn ACLs, two torn meniscuses. People from Chicago pretty much vilify him now. It's a really sad story.
It is.
Actually, like there. I mean, we're the same age. He's a young kid. Plays hard. He was a winner. Two state titles in high school. Almost won a national title in college. And who knows what would have happened before those injuries. But it's just, it's really sad for me.
It is.
It's a really sad story. I feel for him. I feel for the family. And I wouldn't wish those injuries upon anybody.
I'm legitimately concerned if he's going to, like, have serious walking issues when he's older. I mean, how many knee and whatever else surgeries has he gone through now? It's insane.
This is the fourth one. This is the fourth knee injury.
Jeez, you know, we're talking to an AI guy, an artificial intelligence guy in a little bit. Maybe we could ask him for a new knee.
We make jokes,
yeah,
but...
Well, yeah. Go ahead. Let me know what he said.
Okay. Okay.
Well, why don't we take a quick break here? We'll head to the spots and we'll come back and talk a little MLB with Sam. Sam being the resident Sox fan here, so we'll get into that with Sam after the break. Here, you're listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN.
Hey, welcome back to Sound Sessions. We are in for Brian Noonan tonight. He's out of town. We're joined again by the great Sam Panionovic. Let's take a quick look at the MLB and what they have going on. Today was the opening day, start of the season. What are the perspectives for the Cubs season this year?
Well, I mean, if you ask the fan base, they're going to say, let's win two.
Ooh, yep, that sounds like some salt.
Play two, the Cubs want to win two, and they certainly have the talent, the lineup, the rotation to do so. They've got the wizard on the bench, Joe Maddon. They maybe have the best executive in baseball, Theo Epstein. And I don't know, you know, the casual fan doesn't have to know much about this, but when you trot out a lineup, your first three hitters are Kyle Schwarber, Anthony Rizzo, and Chris Bryant. It's a pretty
serious
lineup right there to start. I mean, imagine being a starting pitcher and you've got to face Schwarber, Bryant, and Rizzo to start the game. I mean, not many teams have the luxury of trotting out that lineup, but they're very deep. They're well-rounded. The only question is now, can you repeat? That's the toughest thing to do in sports. Even the Blackhawks in hockey haven't done it.
Right.
You know, it's very tough to go back-to-back in a grueling 162-game season. Then you've got the playoffs. You've got pretty much two seasons.
Right.
So we'll see what they do.
Hey, Sam, what's the last team in the Major League Baseball to have gone back-to-back like that? It's got to be pretty rare.
I think it's the Yankees. I think they won in 90 – actually, no, they won it in 2000 and maybe late 90s. I want to say the Yankees did it at one point in the 90s. They might won three in a row.
Wow.
But I think it was the Yankees in the 90s. I could be wrong. You may have to fact check me on that.
We can pull it up. I mean, what do we need to know? I mean, there's some new faces with the Cubs, maybe not a lot because they're kind of set as it is now. But, I mean, what do we need to know as far as that goes?
Well, your two biggest losses, Kev, are Dexter Fowler, who was the leadoff hitter and the center fielder. And Joe Maddon used to always say, I know you heard the quote, you go, we go.
Right.
Get on base, we'll drive you in. And he plays pretty solid center field. So he's going to be tough to replace. He was great in the clubhouse, a really good leader. And then the other guy that you're going to miss, whether people like him or not, is Aroldis Chapman, the fireball and Cuban closer who threw like 100 and a million miles an hour. he's gone. He's back with the Yankees. So there are a couple holes here. But, I mean, if you look at the depth across the organization, they've got young players that are still in the minors waiting to crack the foundation. I mean, they've got depth upon depth upon depth. So I don't think that it's that big of a loss. They'll move Jason Hayward over to center sometimes. He's playing center field right now in St. Louis. But my question is about the pitching staff. You know, how will Jake Arrieta play in a contract year? This is his last season in Chicago on the book. Will John Lester be solid again? And then Kyle Hendricks, will he continue to get better on the mound? There's plenty of questions, but you know, there are more rock-solid, sure things in this lineup and rotation than there are question marks at this point.
Yeah, it's a great team and a great season. I mean, everyone knows here in Chicago how extraordinary historically that season was. And now with all the renovations that have happened at the Cubs field and everything like that, I wanted to know, like, do renovations and putting more money into the team make that big of a difference? I mean, we saw what happened in 2016 when we did put more money into the Cubs, got the roster that we needed. What about the new field? How is that going to be an advantage?
Yeah, see, I like the nostalgia. I remember walking around Wrigley Field as like a 7-8-year-old kid when there wasn't, you know, a massive video board in left center field and a massive video board in right center. And, you know, we didn't have everything that was sponsored. We didn't have the Captain Morgan Club. And I don't know, it was more of a homey feel to it. And you could walk around, you could actually get around the stadium on foot. I understand it's about business and it's about the bottom line. They're bringing in millions and millions of dollars, and they're going to have even more stuff this year. I mean, there's going to be a Cubs Plaza. There's going to be a farmer's market. There's going to be like a Starbucks bar.
Farmer's market?
Like chata smoothies. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But at the end of the day, how much money can we bring in? How many different places can we do it? And they've monetized it very well. If you look at what the Ricketts have done, they've bought up most of the rooftops. They're buying up buildings and businesses. They're trying to take over and revolutionize not just Wrigley Field. They're trying to take over Wrigleyville as a whole.
I know.
They're on their way. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, let's switch gears a little bit here to the other side of the city, the south side with the Sox. I will say, speaking of stadiums and everything like that, I think the sell or guaranteed rate field, what it is now,
yeah,
it's a beautiful stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The food there is amazing. I really do like going there. But what can we expect from the Sox this year? It's kind of a different story. They're in a bit of a rebuild, right?
Yeah, probably lots of open seats.
Oh, no.
If we're being honest. Well, let me answer it this way. In Las Vegas, the lowest win total was the San Diego Padres. It's 67.5. So Vegas thinks they're going to win about 68 games.
Okay.
The second worst projected team in Las Vegas is the Chicago White Sox.
Now,
Vegas can always get it right. But if you look at what the White Sox have done, they traded the best pitcher in the American League, Chris Sale. He's gone. Adam Eaton was an all-star. He's gone. They'll probably unload more guys. They'll probably trade Jose Quintana. They may trade Todd Frazier. They may trade David Robertson. But this is a rebuild, and this is something that this organization is needed. They were poor in the majors and in the minors. And right now they've tried to retool from the bottom up. It's like you dig the tree completely out of the ground, guys, and you plant a new one, and you try and grow it from there. So they've got a top-5 farm system in baseball. You may see some of these young players at some point this year. You may see some next year. But they are trying to load up at the bottom levels and build it back up. So, you know what? They could lose 100 games. But in the grand scheme of things, this is like a 3-4-5-year plan. So you've got to be patient on the outside.
You know, I think there's some – and I don't know where you stand on this, Sam, but like Bill Leff and I, we have the ongoing argument about how he's done with the Bears and he can't watch the Bears anymore because of what they're doing and this and that. And to me, I'm on the opposite side of the coin where it's like, okay, I know they're terrible,
yeah,
but I need to go through these times to appreciate the good times. Like, where do you stand on that, Sam?
You're telling me you pain watch?
I pain watch. I pain watch for sure.
Just eating that quart of ice cream like all night long. It's just right. Like a bad relationship. Really.
Yeah, totally.
Well, the worst team I ever covered in my 5 years in Chicago was the 2012 Chicago Cubs, and they lost over 100 games. I remember when I was there, and they couldn't catch fly balls. They couldn't strike anybody out. They couldn't get on base. They couldn't score runs. And look what happened from 2012 to 2016. So
right.
You're right. I mean, the good thing is you locate these players now. If you get familiar with them while they're still on the precipice of making it into the league. I mean, Yoan Moncada, Michael Kopech, Lucas Giolito, these are guys that will be household names, hopefully, in the next year, 2, maybe 3 years. And it's like getting on the bottom, you know? I mean, the bandwagon is pretty barren right now. It's like a train with no passengers. But if you're on the bottom floor, I remain there right now.
Good for you.
I'm trying to crawl up through the rubble, and hopefully it goes to the top one day.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, like you say, and there's going to be some empty seats there. Well, for what it's worth, you can get a cheap seat and you can go have a really nice time. It's a beautiful stadium. The food is second to none as far as stadiums go, in my opinion. And they have like a new Modelo bar that's opening up and things like that. Like they're doing it right as far as the food and drink go.
So you're saying if even though the team might be terrible, the food is going to be fantastic. So you just go there like a restaurant. I mean,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Enjoy a game.
Easy parking. I mean, when you go to park at Wrigley now, you pretty much park in Kenosha, then they shuttle you in.
That's true.
On the south side, you park close, you get a nice view, you get a good deal. Now they've got like the craft cave, I believe they call it.
Yes, that's
like
right.
A big cooler full of craft beers. And did you guys see the new sandwich? It's like a 16-inch brisket mac and cheese sandwich.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Oh, my God. That's heavy.
I can hear your heart stop. I can hear Kevin's heart stop.
His eyes went rolled back into his head when you said that.
Yeah.
Where's Hot Dogs going to be at? I know that. Are they?
That's
the
Wrigley,
Cubs?
I think.
That's
right?
At Wrigley?
Yeah, that's at Wrigley. I don't believe they have a contract with the South Side. Now, that could be in the works. I'm not so sure. But they do have a bunch of new options. They've got this thing called the Heater, which is like a jalapeno sausage with spicy mayo and coleslaw. It's funny. We talk about the Cubs. We talk about the lineup. About food.
Hey, there's nothing to say about how about the team's difference. I mean, you said that it's a rebuilding season. I mean, they're rebuilding, but with good food.
Yeah, well, let's leave it at that.
All right, and then in about a minute or so here, let's talk about the Blackhawks briefly here. They suffered a loss, a really tight game today against the Boston Bruins. But, you know, a couple weeks away, the playoffs start, and the Hawks are looking really good. What do you think? Are they prepped for a deep run?
Yeah, I expect a parade, to be honest. You know,
really?
Back in January, even before they traded for Johnny Oduya, I thought they were going to go in the deep runs no matter what. I think they're going to win the Cup. I think they're the deepest they've been defensively.
That's true.
They roll about four lines on offense. They've got a Stanley Cup winning goalie who's done it twice, and they have the second-best coach in the history of hockey. That's a great recipe. Not to mention, guys, they're well-rested. They got bounced in the first round last year. They're determined. They're hungry. And I don't care what they've done in the last 2 weeks. They're ready for the playoffs. Talk to me when it counts. They'll be there. They've got better players than you do. They've
right.
got a better coach, and they are loaded.
It's true, and there's something to be said about these young rookies that have come up and just, I mean, been dynamite. They've played out of their minds, and that's a credit to Coach Quinville.
Absolutely. And by the way, I know I've got to go, but Led Zeppelin 2 is the best Led Zeppelin album.
I mean, I'm on board with that.
That's a whole other discussion.
I mean,
I'm gonna get heated.
But then again, four is pretty good too.
They're all really good. Anyway, all right. Well, that's Sam Padjanovic. He's got a basketball game to go watch. Sam, thank you for your time, and let's talk about getting you on the show tomorrow.
Hey, squeeze the lemons till the juice runs down my leg. Anytime, guys.
What a great guy. You can follow Sam on WGN. Check him out on Twitter, too. He's always posting great stuff,
SP
great
shoot.
Coverage.
At SP Shoot. Thanks, Sammy.
The future is out there, Kevin.
The future is now.
The future is now. This is Michael and Kevin with Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. We are very thankful to Brian Noonan for letting us fill in. We're your all-music podcast and live show right now on WGNRadio.com. You can search us on Sound Sessions if you search the website, iTunes.com/Sound Sessions, or directly right now you can call us or text us at 312-981-7200. There is some recent news that was kind of scary, Kev. The fact that our government can now see what our browsing history is and sell it to companies without even our consent anymore. This is a new thing that's happening. What's even more scary is the fact that the robots might be taking over. I'm saying this because there's a professor and chair of business and information technology who wrote a lot of great articles and especially is an expert in AI. We welcome King Xiao to the show. King, how's it going today?
Very good. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on WGN Radio. You know, I wanted to know, why is there such a fear of AI? I mean, especially since the infancy of these creation stages. I mean, you see in China and Japan and even here in the U.S. that a lot of these robots that are meant for maybe cleaning or whatnot are starting to look more realistic and can do things that you wouldn't have seen maybe 10 or even like 5 years ago.
That's right. I guess for artificial intelligence, it's an emerging area, and there's a lot of hype at this point in time about what is AI and what is AI's potential. And, of course, we are interested in looking at what's the economy impact and the societal impact by this technology. So when we look at AI, we can look at it from two point of view. One is a strong AI. And one is a weak AI. So when we look at strong AI, okay, a simple way to think of it would be like Terminator. Okay, so the strong AI, also sometimes known as artificial general intelligence, so it's a machine with consciousness, and it can actually apply intelligence to more than one specific problem. So it's more like a very human-like. And when we look at weak AI, which is what we are seeing a lot at this point in time, like, for example, a system that can play chess, a system that can drive a car. So these are machines that can display human types of intelligence, but in a narrow domain, like playing chess only or driving cars only. So there's a lot of interest at this point in time about this development. And I have to say that the development has been pretty fast the last 2-3 years.
Well, yeah, there's something too. I mean, even like our technology, think about like computers and, you know, 50 years ago, what a computer looked like compared to what it is. I mean, the technology moves so quickly. Is there some, I mean, should we be afraid of how quickly or, I mean, this robotic or AI technology is moving, or how should we feel about that?
So we have to differentiate between the weak AI and the strong AI. So when we look at the weak AI, robots, automation, I guess the fear is that they will be taking over a number of jobs that humans are doing at this point in time. So that is the concern at this point in time, job displacement. And some of the reports are saying that about 38% of the U.S. jobs, or some even say 47% of the U.S. jobs in the next 1 to 2 decades will be replaced by automation and robots. And that's pretty scary. How is the economy going to react to this kind of job displacement? So that's related to the weak AI. AI, they are really good at one specific area, like driving a car or playing chess. Now, once it comes to strong AI, which will probably be maybe 2 or 3 decades away or even longer, or maybe even nearer. So that one, people are concerned about what is the threat of that to human existence. It's like the Terminator kind of scenario.
Yeah, that... So, Great movie, right, by the way, Terminator. it really changed the game as far as what you're thinking about. And, you know, that's an interesting point. Kevin, like, when you think about TV shows or pop culture and everything, it's the things that you see in science fiction that often become true. I remember when, like, Back to the Future, how they had the double tie and the fact that you could put a piece of food into the microwave and in 2 seconds, like, you'd get a pizza dinner. I'm still waiting for that. But I see that now. In the field of technology, I was just at South by Southwest, and they were talking about how disruptive companies are becoming the new thing, and the fact that the companies like Uber took the fact that we were, you know, the way that the transportation system was working, and people were, you know, taking cars, and all of a sudden it turned it on its head by making us, you know, to do this kind of carpool system with strangers. Is AI the new disruptive force in the workforce, and you know, how can we work with it together to make it something good instead of something where we're going to be displaced with jobs, or the fact that, you know, people might get angry at it the way that taxi drivers get mad at Uber? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess we have to really be aware of that this thing is going to happen. Is it going to be disruptive? I think so. Mm-hmm. Job will be displaced, yes. How are we going to deal with that? Education, retraining, awareness, understanding of their capability. So these are all things that we need to do at this point in time. So the good thing is that people are becoming aware of this kind of issues early. So, for example, this program, you guys are talking about AI and its potential to economy and societal impact. So we are becoming aware of all this, and we are taking a preemptive early detection and early preparation. So we are trying to prepare ourselves for this AI kind of economy. So let's say for job displacement, all right, so maybe we should do a lot more retraining, and the university should probably, or education institution, should really train people that can fit into that kind of economy. And for organization and those government agencies that are retraining workers, we have to retrain workers for the next economy, the upcoming economy. So we need to be aware of all this. So these are all more or less related to the weak AI.
Yeah.
Again, we come to the strong AI. We have to be very cautious. Are we going to develop something that one day turn into a Terminator? We don't want that to happen.
I mean, well, how realistic is that, in like, of becoming self-aware? How realistic is that idea? And then, and is there any way that we can kind of, like in a car, you install a governor so it doesn't go, it only goes a certain speed? Is there any way we can install something like that into robots or AI technology?
My Roomba tried to attack me the other day. I was very afraid.
Okay, we have to be. How realistic is that? We have a limited understanding of human consciousness, and in fact our cognition, our mental working. So we are still trying to explore that. So it doesn't mean that we don't understand fully what's our consciousness and what's our mental state and how it actually operates. We will prevent this artificial general intelligence from emerging. It may be an emerging property. You may have a lot of systems that are really good at doing what they are doing, and put them all together, and suddenly there's this emerging property that they become self-aware. Because we don't understand it ourselves, but it doesn't mean that it will not happen.
I see. You know, that's really interesting. You know, I did want to ask, let's get to the serious points now. There's three laws of robotics that I remember from the movie iRobot. Number one, a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction, or allow a human to come into harm. Number two, a robot must obey the orders given to it by a human being, except when such orders would conflict with the first law. Number three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as protection does not conflict with the first or second laws. Now, with robots becoming more aware of themselves and, you know, actually maybe reaching into singularity and being able to work themselves without any human interaction, will robots have the capacity to commit crimes one day?
I guess your guess is as good as mine. But again, we are not going to try it. We are not as far as possible, we don't want that to happen or even have a chance to happen. So we need to be aware of that that may happen. So what are the precautions we can take at this point in time to prevent that from happening?
So you're saying my broom one day won't get up and attack me or in my sleep or something like that?
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, with all this technology coming out, and it's all really new, you know, and we're like, you know, like you were saying, the technology is developing so quickly. There's a lot of good coming with it, whether it be smart cars that can maybe drive themselves, and maybe we could touch on that in a second too, or like drones, some of the drone footage that comes out, or like, you know, drone for agriculture. But then there's the other side, I mean, where there's potential for it to be used in really negative ways. I mean, think about like drone missile strikes. It's such an impersonal thing that could be happening halfway around the world. And, you know, how, I mean, how sure can you be that you're striking the target that you're intending to strike? You know what I mean? So there's a lot of downside that can go into this as well, correct? King?
Yes?
Yeah, so I'm saying, so there's I mean, with a lot of this new emerging technology, there's also a lot of downside that could be taken from it, correct?
Of course, yeah. There's always a good side and a bad side.
Now, is there any way that we can, like, I don't know, control, I mean, like, try to... Because it's such a fine line we're walking with, like the drone strikes, like I was talking about. Is there any way we can maybe, like, protect, I don't know, separate the good from the bad and maybe just focus on the good? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're trying to do that most of the time. We're trying to separate the good from the bad. But a lot of times, the good and the bad come together. Okay, depend on how we use certain technology. Okay, so, like the drones, as you mentioned earlier, we can use a drone to deliver food and deliver goods and deliver medical aids to people in need. But you also can use a drone to have missiles and to kill people.
Yeah.
So it cuts both ways.
Yeah, it's quite the interesting world we're living in. You know, the people like Elon Musk are using people like Elon are using things in a very, very positive and socially conscious way, where they're trying to create the Hyperloop or the self-driving car and everything, which is fantastic. I see it being used very positively in the next few years, because I feel like the people who are doing Kevin, tell me if I'm wrong here, but the people who do have this technology and this and the money to put into these AI artificial intelligence robots are the people who are trying to create some good. You know,
we hope so. We certainly hope so.
Because I don't think they're. I think that the idea of a super villain, you know, who just like creates the death ray, who's going to blow up
Dr. Evil.
The doctor, I think those are a thing of the past. What do you think, Mr. King?
I guess the intention has always been good. For example, let's focus on the driverless car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the idea is to have the car that can drive itself. And so for me, I have to drive my car. I just came back from St. Louis. I have to drive all the way back from St. Louis to Rolla, which is about 1 hour 45 minutes. I'd rather be just sitting down there and have the car drive itself the whole journey. Okay, so I think the idea of having a driverless car is good. But on the other hand, what about those like truck drivers? We have 3.5 million truck drivers in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of listeners to WGN, too.
Yeah, we have about 250 to 300,000 taxi drivers. So the unintended or maybe the consequences is that these people may lose their job if the self-driving cars become popular and widespread.
I see, I see. Well, this has been fantastic. We appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man, and hopefully we'll all regain, you know, our own singularity and make sure that these robots won't take over and we'll be very good. That was King Siao, professor and chair of business and information and technology. We can't thank you enough. Where can people find you?
Just Google me.
Done. Well, thank you for your time. Well, we're going to wrap up. We're going to throw it a break. You're listening to Sound Sessions on WGN Radio. Again, you can text or call at 312-981-7200. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk with, let's see here, Patrick Berger, owner of Patty Long's and the Kaiser Tiger. I know you're a big fan of Patty Long's.
Huge fan of Patty Long's. In fact, there's a little bit of a secret that I might share with our studio audience when we get Pat on here. Great, great man. Fantastic place, bacon and beer. Probably the best bacon and beer bar in the entire city, if not the world.
I was going to say, are there many?
No, that's bacon my whole and point. Beer.
Well, anyway, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with a little bit more. And you're listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN.
All of us.
Online.
WGNRadio.com.
Attention Chicagoland Class A drivers. New Way Transportation is currently hiring local Chicagoland drivers. If you've been searching for a better way for you and your family, then you need to experience New Way. New Way drivers can earn up to $75,000 annually, and every night they sleep in their own bed. Plus, New Way provides complete benefits and new equipment. Work for a company that values you. New Way Transportation. Apply right now. Call 309-834-2017 or visit newway.com. NUWAY.com.
I'm Trina Webster.
And I'm Dan Webster, founders of Z-Quiet. Let me be honest, I snored.
Yeah, he did. Crazy loud.
And I was forced to sleep on the couch most nights.
Dan tried everything, including surgery, to solve his snoring problem.
Nothing worked.
So we turned to experts and created a solution that's a total game changer. A mouthpiece called Z-Quiet.
Not just any mouthpiece, one that gently opens the airway where the snoring happens. In fact, it's based on the same technology as treatments costing thousands of dollars.
It allows natural jaw movement so you can talk, breathe normally, and best of all, sleep comfortably without making a sound.
And what's really cool is that it couldn't be easier. Just pop it in before you go to sleep to kick snoring out of bed.
So you can sleep quiet
with Z-Quiet.
Z-Quiet fits both men and women. Try it risk-free for 30 days for just $9.95. Go to GetZQuiet.com or text SNAP to 91011. Go to GetZQuiet.com or text SNAP to 91011.
This year, we've got 100 reasons for you to switch to Jackson Hewitt. Tell your online tax service to take a hike, and we'll pay you $100 to file with Jackson Hewitt. Plus, you'll get your max refund guaranteed. So maybe it's more like 101 reasons. It pays to switch to Jackson Hewitt. File today and get $100. Minimum tax preparation fee of $150 applies. Offer valid when you complete your taxes with us. $100 provided on a card. Not valid with any other promotion or discount. Ask a tax pro or see jacksonhewitt.com for details. Available in participating locations only. Most offices are independently owned and operated.
Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. So, like we have mentioned earlier in the show, we are typically a music-based podcast and show, and we like to do a lot of music content. And one of the things we like to do quite often is a little segment we like to call Now Spinning. So what are you spinning in your record player, your in your earphones, or anything like that? So I guess to kick it off here, Michael, what's spinning here?
We're gonna kick it off with our bumper, of course. Here we go. Let's see what's now spinning.
I feel dizzy.
Dude.
Why do I feel dizzy?
That's right. We've opened up the Now Spinning segment here on WGN Radio. This is where, you know, we take listener calls, we take listener texts, and as well as talk about what we've been listening to lately. Kevin, how did you enjoy that intro?
I love it. You know, I know that's one of your babies, and it's brilliant.
I feel like I gotta update it.
No, I love it. Keep it the way it is. It's great.
All right, so let's start it off. Kevin, I want to see, like, what do you have in the vault lately? What have you been listening to lately? What's been on your docket, on your iPod? Anything that you've been
checking out? Well, there's one in particular, and you know, fingers crossed, I don't want to speak too soon. I'm still working on the final details here, but we might be speaking to him this week on the podcast. But this great band from, I want to say, Seattle called Minus the Bear.
Yeah.
They're not very new. They've been around for a long time, but they're coming to town this Thursday at the House of Blues, and I'm totally geeked to go see them. I don't know if Shantae has a clip of them at all, but it's I guess you can call it indie rock, but it's synthesizer based and a lot of like pedal work and a lot of loops and all that. So it's a lot of fun. I'm really psyched to finally go see them at the House of Blues.
It's a fantastic name, too, Minus the Bear.
I heard
a little bit of it. Really enjoyed it. So this is Minus the Bear. They're going to be playing at the House of Blues next week. You can tune in to Sound Sessions podcast here on WGN Radio if you want to see an interview by them. If we have a little bit of them. Okay, I'm digging
it's moody.
It. The beginning kind of sounds like a Law and Order intro, doesn't it?
I don't watch that much Law and Order.
Oh, there we go.
See, it's a little techie. It's good.
I love this.
Yeah.
You know, all these bands are so technically proficient.
Yes. These guys are...
A lot of math-based...
So, just to give you a quick little insider, the guitar player, it's all driven by him. He has four different loop pedals that he uses at once. It's totally incredible to see. It's a performance in itself just watching that.
That's awesome.
But that's my Now Spinks. What's up your sleeve there, Michael?
So I've been putting this guy off for far too long. A guy that I've been trying to get on the show for a while. I think he's coming to the city in May, which again, like we mentioned in the beginning of the show, it's really cool to live in a city where you can see all your favorite music acts and everything. He just put out a new album, I think, this past week, if not like maybe one one or two days ago. And this album, it's so interesting. He's really talking about like the decomposition of man and the fact that we've just driven ourselves into this societal
wasteland.
Yeah, like wasteland. That's a good word for it. And the man is Father John Misty. So if you haven't heard Father John Misty before, this is a little bit of his music that I wanted to check you out with. Great guy, very folksy singer.
Okay.
Very interesting, like, way of looking at the world. He's, you know, the hipster guy with the beard and, like, the professor leather
jacket.
I mean,
with a name like that.
Yeah, Father John Misty. And if anybody else has some really great music they want to tune into, just give us a call at 312-981-7200. We'd love to be playing that. And the minute that we can, I could show you that we've got a little bit of our buddy Father John. He's great. He's going to be at Coachella and here it is. He's going to be at Coachella week one and week two. So you can see a lot of production, a lot of orchestral sounds come with his music.
Oh, folksy, yeah. It's nice.
And he plays the acoustic guitar and sings. He's just one of the best artists on the docket for today. What do you think?
Feels like a warm bath.
I guess I think he would take some
that's
great
a compliment
to
yeah.
that. So
it's
that good. Was that was really Father pretty. John Misty. We have a lot of great artists that are coming through Chicago. So just let us know. Hit us up at soundsessionspod@gmail.com. Subscribe to us on Sound Sessions at iTunes. And let's take a quick tiny break before we get to our next segment, which will be Pat Berger of the great bar here in Chicago, Patty's Long's Bar and Grill. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll go up to news. This is Sound Sessions here on WGN.
Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. I am Michael.
Hey, I'm Kevin.
And, Kev, I got to ask you, one of the great American traditions is eating bacon and pairing it with beer, I'd say.
I think that's a new one. I was talking with our guest here off microphone, and I had not heard about this before. It's a totally new concept to me.
Yes, of course. And we are joined by the man himself, Patrick Berger, proprietor of Patty Long's and Kaiser Tiger. What's going on, Pat?
Oh, you know, nothing, everything.
I heard that you just got off a successful date over at Bacon Fest. How was that?
It was fantastic. Yeah, yesterday we did the lunch session at Bacon Fest, and as always, you know, it is a blast. People love bacon.
There's so, no doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah. And the folks at Bacon Fest, like the actual attendees, they're the best. They're like just so happy to be there. They're really into it. They're bacon geeks, you know?
So you, as being as the bacon connoisseur, I'm going to just give you that title for now. What were your thoughts? Was there a lot of great new recipes and everything that you saw, or was it much of the same? Or what do you think about the bacon situation here in Chicago now?
Well, you know, I keep waiting for bacon to jump the shark. You know, I remember, you know, we started doing this bacon thing 8 or 9 years ago at Patty Long's, and I remember when the Baconator came out. I think it was Wendy's or Burger King or something. And I was like, "Oh, that's it. Bacon's over." You know, now Wendy's is on the bacon train. So, but that has not proven to be the case. People can't get enough of it. They love it, and for good reason. It tastes pretty great.
People love it to the point where I'm now seeing it on donuts like everywhere. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? It's a pretty heavy donut.
Yeah, I have had the bacon donut. It's good.
It is good.
Yeah, everything, no you know, doubt. I've yet to have anything that wasn't better with bacon. I've had bacon ice cream, and, it was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I've bacon dressing, bacon cologne, I think, is out there now.
Yeah, maybe that's not so good.
That's maybe too far.
Yeah, that might take it.
Sorry, guys. I knew I shouldn't have double dosed tonight. So, Pat, I think that the story of your history is kind of cool. How did you come up with the conception of making a bacon and beer bar?
You know, it kind of happened organically. We opened up 10 years ago now at 1028 West Diversey in the Lakeview neighborhood. And my business partner, Chris Latchford, is a gentleman from Dublin, Ireland. And we opened a pretty straightforward Irish pub, except I was a beer judge. I still am a beer judge and a beer geek. And so I was putting all these weird beers on tap. And then I was really into bacon. So we had like four or five different bacons on the menu. And Chris would kind of get, you know, make fun of me about it. Why do we have all these bacons? Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm just into it. But he realized very quickly that that is what was bringing people in. You know, there's a million Irish bars in Chicago. And you kind of got to stick out. So I remember very early on, we were probably 6 months old or so. And he said, you know, everyone's coming in for the beer and the bacon. I'm changing the name from Paddy Long's Irish Pub to Paddy Long's Beer and Bacon Pub. Mm-hmm. I want you to redo the menu and, you know, just whip out every crazy bacon dish you've ever wanted to put on there. And I did, and the rest is, you know, kind of history.
Yeah, and so, I mean, cool. Today now you guys do, like, pairings and flights and all that?
Yeah, so now we do beer and bacon. We've been doing this for a while, beer and bacon tastings, where I pair five different beers with five different cuts of bacon.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, it's a good time. We give you a little history of, you know, the different bacons as well as the beers, and people love it. They've been coming in for it for, I think, about 7 years now. We've had over 19,000 people come through for our beer and bacon tasting.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I got to get in for that.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, every Friday and Saturday, and I think you can book it on our website at pattylongs.com. Mm.
So I want to qualify two things as bacon or not bacon. One of them being Canadian bacon. In your eyes, is that bacon?
That is bacon. Yes, absolutely. It's back bacon.
Okay.
And it comes from the loin of the pig, so it's not as fatty as our traditional belly bacon.
Sure.
But it's cured and smoked. It's bacon. And
it's
it comes
delicious.
From a pig.
But so. It seems more of like a ham to me, which I guess is kind of the same concept.
Yes, but it is. You know, that's the original bacon.
Okay.
That's where the word comes from the back of the pig.
Oh.
And in England, Ireland, Scotland, if you get bacon, that's you're going to get back bacon.
Interesting.
And we do serve an Irish bacon at Paddy Long's.
Huh. What about pork belly? I'm seeing that all over the place now, too. And it just, to me, it looks kind of like bacon. It tastes very rich.
Well, pork belly is the most popular cut of bacon.
Okay.
So bacon, most bacon is pork belly. But you have to cure it and smoke it for it to be bacon. For me. You have to at least cure it.
Now, turkey bacon. Does that count?
That's a thing? I don't know what that is. Turkeys.
I mean, yeah, it's...
No, that is
you
not.
You just offended him.
I know, I can tell.
That is not bacon.
The whole tone changed.
No, it's got to come from a pig for me to consider it bacon.
Sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Bacon comes from a pig.
Yeah.
So, you know, another thing that you do, which makes your bar so great, is you have a challenge. That you challenge the normal man who walks through the door, man or woman, with the bacon challenge. Now, I saw that there was some news on that on social media. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, we recently had a couple of... They come in droves sometimes because, you know, there's this thing called competitive eating out there. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the competitive eaters, but I know more about it than I ever cared to. They're very competitive, obviously. And once one of them comes in and does it and they brag about it on, you know, a website or on their message boards or whatever, then suddenly they're coming in. You know, nonstop to do it. And so we had a little rush of it lately, and a woman came in and destroyed the record. She ate it in like 4 minutes and 12 seconds.
Now, hold on. What is it?
It is a 5-pound spicy beef and pork meatloaf stuffed with bacon and then wrapped in a brown sugar bacon weave.
Oh, my God. And she ate all of it?
Yes, with a pound of fries.
Oh, my God. That's 6 pounds of food.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It's always the people you least suspect, too.
Yeah, not a big girl. And, you know, our mutual friend Sam was behind the bar. He didn't, you know, she came in and said, oh, yeah, I'm going to do the challenge. He was like, whatever. He didn't even bother filming it, you know. He didn't think she had a chance. And by the time he realized what was going on, she was halfway done.
Oh, mid-chant, they're just like, go.
She came in on a quiet Monday night and shattered the record. The previous record was 8 minutes, 52 seconds.
She did it in four?
She did 4 minutes, I think, 12 seconds.
How is that even possible?
Can you give me her number? I got to marry this woman.
She'll eat you out of house and home. it's on YouTube. You got to watch it. It is. It's like a train wreck. You can't look away. But it's unbelievable. She gets a third of it down in about like the first 4 seconds.
Oh my God!
It's crazy.
Now, have you had some experience with the Food Channel too? I remember that you had something.
Yeah,
we've been on.
Yeah, we've been on the Cooking Channel, the Discovery Channel, Travel Channel. WGN Chicago Best, of course. And,
yeah, Elliot.
Yep, yeah, Elliot's been by. And the most recently we taped with the FYI Network last week. I don't know when that's coming out. Kaiser Tiger will be on the new season of Food Paradise on Travel Channel.
Cool.
Wow.
So, yeah, people apparently... A fat bearded guy weaving bacon makes for good television.
Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought it? Yeah. I mean, but that really solidifies you as one of the best bacon bars in Chicago. That you have all this this intense press going about your company here. I mean, it must feel good to be sitting at that kind of level.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the restaurant business is a tough business, and you know, every day you're open is a victory, and 10 years. Now at Patty Long's it's been a wild ride. It's been great. It is the most challenging business that I can think of. You have to wear a lot of different hats. And,
sure.
Yeah, thank God we're still here. Knock on wood. Knock on something.
So now I understand you have a little bit of history with Patty Long's, correct, Michael?
I do, in fact. I do. Surprisingly, I went to Patty Long's. I have a mutual friend, our good friend Sam Meckling, who is the proprietor of Malort, which is one of Chicago's finest brands of liqueur, I guess you would call it.
Yes, he's an evil man, Sam Meckling.
he does. He's like the anti-Santa Claus almost. Instead of bringing gifts, he brings people Malort, which is often
destroying palates every day.
I like it. I really do.
If you don't know what Malort is, make sure you go and check out some of their YouTube videos. There's this great one where they refer to it as sandpaper. I think pencil shavings from your ninth grade history class was a good description of it.
It tastes like off deep woods to me. Like, you know, when you're like really yes. in there, it tastes like that. But kind of in a good way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you don't like yourself, go get yourself some Malort and drink it.
I love that the Chicago handshake is becoming a new
thing. I know,
thing,
I love
it's
that
the,
too.
The old style and the shot of Malort.
Yep, can of old style, shot of Malort.
It's Chicago a thing hands,
if you want to make an enemy.
Mm-hmm. So if you've had that or anything, please call us, text us, tell us what you think about that. 312-981-7200. But now I wanted to get to why the secret that I was sharing a little bit before Pat came on. I was one time your trivia guy.
You were the quiz master. That's what we call it, the quiz master. Yes.
I took it down from one of the first guy who was there for about like what 9 years or something like that.
A long time. Yeah.
He was fantastic.
Colin
was a great man, and I took it from him for about a little under a year. It was a great time, and I thought that it'd be great for our listeners, you know, to get a little bit, since you're here, Pat, we're honored to have you, if we did a little trivia following this next break, and we gave away some prizes. Do you have something to give away to our listeners?
Yeah, I brought a $50 gift card to our other restaurant, Kaiser Tiger, in the West Loop on Randolph and Ogden, and we have a giant beer garden there. We're almost in the beer garden season, so... $50 should get you a few beers out in the sun.
Awesome.
Kaiser Tiger, one of the best spots in Chicago. The address is 1415 West Randolph in Chicago. And let's do that. Let's give some trivia going up at this next segment. We'll do some April trivia. How about that?
Okay, yeah. So what should we do? Like two contestants? How do you want to do this?
Yeah, let's just line up the phone calls, 981-7200, and see who we got. I will give them, and the first person who gets it right, let's give it to them.
Okay, cool. Okay. Well, yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with trivia with Patrick Berger of Patty Long's and Kaiser Tiger and Sound Sessions here on WGN.
All right, here we go. Welcome back. This is Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. Call and text in 312-981-7200. This is Kevin and Michael. And with Pat from Patty Long's and Kaiser Tiger. Now, we kind of teased this before, the fact that I was once the trivia master over at Patty Long's, which is, by the way, can I just say, unbiased here, one of the best bars in all of Chicago. If you want to just go and have a great beer and just have some great food, go to Patty Long's.
I mean, you have me sold at beer and bacon. Okay. you don't need to sell anything else there.
That wasn't very hard to tell. And we thought we'd, since Pat's here, we have the honor of having him here with us, we thought we'd do a little trivia ourselves. So let's take a call from a good friend of ours, Ellen. What's going on, Ellen?
Hello, how are you?
We're doing good. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, just fine.
Thanks for calling into WGN. Are you ready for your bacon trivia?
Yes, I am.
All right. So in the topic of bacon, pig farming is a huge industry in blank. Almost half the world's pigs come from the blank. And what is that country?
What is the country where most pigs come from?
Yes.
Is that the question?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my good. Would it be the United States?
No. Sorry, Ellen.
Thanks for playing.
We appreciate the call. Thanks so much for listening.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Ellen. Susan, what's going on?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a country that has pigs.
I think most of them have pigs, so you have a good chance to just say one of them. But let me repeat it for you real quick. Pig farming is a huge industry in blank. Almost half the world's pigs come from which country? What is it, Susan?
China?
Way to go.
Nice. Susan. I'm surprised.
Susan with a point.
Made it sound easy.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, in fact, half of the world's pigs come from China, and man, they are just hog wild for those pigs.
Okay. Wrapped up.
Pat, can you tell us, Susan, what she's won tonight?
Susan, you have won a $50 gift card to Kaiser Tiger, 1415 West Randolph in the West Loop.
Fantastic, Susan. Thank you so much for playing. You are an official sound sesher, and our great producer, Shantae, is going to take your
information. Yeah, Susan, stay on the line. We'll talk with Shantae and get your info.
Thank you.
John, we're going to give you a chance, too. I have one more question for you here, my friend.
All right.
John, what's going on, my friend?
How are you?
I'm good. Okay, I'm going to give you an April question, though. Are you ready?
April. So the category is the month of April.
Yes.
Okay.
The category is the month of April. Thanks again for calling, my friend. All right, here we go. Which famous fictional character celebrates a birthday on the 17th of April? All right, I'm going to give you some choices here, okay?
You better.
We don't expect you to know that's off the top of your head, my friend. Here we go. We got A, Sherlock Holmes, B, Daffy Duck, C, Shrek, or D, Peter Parker.
Wow, this is hard.
Oh, man, and I really wanted that Kaiser. I love the Kaiser Tiger. I have no idea. I'm going to go Sherlock Holmes.
Oh. Sorry, my friend.
I meant Shrek.
John, you are a fantastic friend. We're going to try to figure out something we're going to give you. If anything, we'll give you a Sound Sessions a swag bag that we got. We got a few CDs and shirts that we can give away, so we'll get you that. So we'll put you on hold, too, and you can talk to our excellent producer, Shantae. But I might as well just give you the answer here.
Well, we got one more contestant. I don't know.
You
want to try Martin?
Oh, yeah. Martin, what's going on, my friend?
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing tonight, Martin?
Excellent.
All right, I'm going to give you another choice here. We got an April category here. The question was, which famous fictional character celebrates a birthday on the 17th of April? Is it A, Sherlock Holmes, B, Daffy Duck, C, Shrek, D, Peter Parker?
My gut is saying Daffy Duck for some reason.
You are correct, my friend.
Wow.
Martin
That's
with
impressive.
The win.
Good one.
Congratulations.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Daffy Duck first appeared to the public on April the 17th, 1937. He debuted in Porky's Duck Hunt, which was created by Bob Clampett and director Tex Avery. Oh, don't you miss those names? I wish we had more of those names today.
That's excellent.
So what are we giving Martin, a pizza or something?
Martin, we'll give you a pizza, or we'll give you a Sound Session swag bag. Your choice. Well, we'll let you speak to Shantae, though, our excellent producer, okay?
All right, great. Thanks
a lot,
guys.
Great hearing from you, Martin.
All right, cool.
And you know what? That kind of leads me to our next point. On April 17th is, in fact, when our next guest, Wayne Coyne, is going to be performing at the...
Oh, that's right. That's right. Coming up after
here
the
in the Riv. And I hear that, Pat, you have a little bit of a connection to our guest, Wayne Coyne.
Well, I just I mentioned that he was doing shots of Malort last time he was in town.
No kidding.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So he is not he is familiar with that painful liquid known as Jepson's Malort.
I wish I would have known that. That's hilarious.
You'll have to ask him about
it.
Chances are he remembers.
I'm sure that you never
you don't forget.
Forget
it. Right. You don't forget it. He probably can still taste it.
So, Pat, you mentioned earlier before we wrap up here that you're a big beer guy, big proponent. Do you have
yes.
like one, as it is right now, one favorite beer from Chicago?
Oh, I couldn't, you know, whenever people ask me what my favorite beer is, I always say the one in my hand, you know, because
that's
the one I can drink the quickest. But, you know, I've been, there are so many breweries in Chicago now. We're up to over 80 breweries in Chicagoland.
Wow.
And if I had to go with a new one that, you know, that maybe people haven't checked out yet, there's a brewery called Dovetail that
kind of
recently opened, and we're big supporters of them. You can find their beers at both of my bars. In fact, they're beer of the month this month. And they are doing really traditional German-style lagers. They do a Hefeweizen, and then they have this lambic program. For those of you that don't know, that is a spontaneously fermented beer. So they basically pump it into a giant stainless steel pool, open up the windows, and let the natural yeast that's floating around all the time infect the beer and ferment the beer that way. So they don't add yeast to it, and then they pump that off into barrels and let it age for years.
Wow.
So that beer we actually won't taste for a long time, but their lagers are out of this world, just, you know, super crushable, perfect for the summer.
Yeah.
And yeah, check them out. They also have a tasting room.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's the cool thing about being here in the city is the fact that we have the connection to all these great beers and everything like that.
So many great bars like Kaiser Tiger or Patty Long's.
Mm-hmm. And Pat, where can they find you at? Where can they connect you to?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Patty Long's. You can find Patty Long's on Facebook and Twitter, as well as Kaiser Tiger, KaiserTiger.com, and at Kaiser Tiger, CHIC, on Twitter.
Two of like the best bars in the city of Chicago. Go and check them out. Pat, we can't thank you enough for joining us here on Sound Sessions.
Absolutely, my pleasure. I left some bacon here for you.
I can smell it. I'm
yeah,
ready.
Don't.
Stomach's growling.
All right, well, before you go, just tell us one more time, what are these beers that you brought before we forget?
Oh, I brought a couple of beers, and, you know, I'm from St. Louis, and, you know, I don't know if...
Oh, yeah, you left that out.
Yeah, the Cubs might be playing the Cardinals right now, so I brought a couple of St. Louis beers, one from Irvin Chestnut. And a actual Cardinal-themed beer from O'Fallon Brewery called STL Red. And then we've got Pipeworks Ninja versus Unicorn, double IPA, very popular. That's our number one selling canned beer at both bars. And then I brought a Belgian Trappist ale, the Rochefort 10. This is a strong Belgian quadruple. And just a world-class, wonderful beer made by monks.
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't know. Should I give out the score, or is that a spoiler alert for the game right now?
I don't know. Pat, what do you think?
It depends.
I think Roger's going to give it out in his news anyway, I would assume.
And that's coming up in just a minute or so.
Yeah. 0-0.
I've got a secret stash.
Roger, are you a fan of bacon and beer?
Bacon anytime I can grab some, even though I am on a diet.
Mm-hmm. Well, we
but
got some
it's always
you.
Good protein.
Yeah. Yes, it's carb free.
That's right.
Carb. Well, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I'm there. Just leave a slab for me.
We will, Roger. Well, Pat Berger, we can't thank you enough for joining us. Check out Patty Long's Beer and Bacon Pub and Kaiser Tiger over in the West Loop. Thanks again, my friend.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you guys so much.
Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. Like I have been all night, I'm Kevin.
And this is Michael. Still all night.
We're here. We're here for another 23 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And we're really excited to finally air our interview with Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips.
Great guy, great musician. I've been listening to him, you know, since I can really remember. And like we've been mentioning all night, you know, he's coming to Chicago on April 17th. Great, great instrumentalist. And the cool thing about Wayne is that he, you know, you might not know Flaming Lips like as a really like hardcore fan, but you've heard their music before. It's very ethereal.
Oh, yeah.
And beautiful.
And famous songs, and they've been in like TV shows, movies. They've been all over the place.
Went on tour with Miley Cyrus for a long time.
That's right. And their latest album was Oxymelody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. We can air it whenever you're ready, Michael.
All right. Without further ado, here is our interview with Wayne Coyne.
Hello, everybody. This is Wayne from the band The Flaming Lips, and you're listening to Sound Sessions.
Hey, what's going on? This is Michael.
And this is Kevin.
And you are listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. Coming April 17th to the Riviera Theater, or The Riv, and with the new album, Oxymelody, we have Wayne Coyne on the line. What's going on, Wayne?
You could hear me laughing in the background when you said The Riviera, because when we were off mic just a moment ago, you said The Riv, and I was like, what is a Riv? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Riviera Theater. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think we had played there last year with the Miley Cyrus and the Dead Pets show,
yeah.
I think. Yeah, yeah, that's the same place. And, I mean, we played there a long, long time ago with Porno for Pyros. Remember? Do you remember Perry Farrell's?
Yeah, Porno for Pyros.
Right after
of course.
David. So yeah. So it's going to be great.
It's a great venue in the city. It's to me, it's just the right amount, like the right size. It's not too big. It's not too small. And for a band like the Flaming Lips, I think it'll fit perfectly for you guys.
We absolutely say that all the time. I think that's why we chose to do the Miley Cyrus show there, because it's like everybody gets like the same intensity of a show. It's, you know, people that are good at playing big arenas do that too. We wouldn't know how to do that so much, but that size of like the Riviera is absolutely perfect for us, because it's, you can just slam everybody with the same sort of volume, and everybody can see about the same. It's perfect.
Excellent. And you know, that show was so cool. Coming here to Chicago with Miley Cyrus was a really interesting thing that, you know, you and your band did. I see that, you know, I read in an interview that you said the more outrageous, you know, Miley gets, the more outrageous the world gets. You know, how important is it for an artist to be kind of out of the box these days?
Well, I mean, if you have a desire to do that, you should do it. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's important if you don't think it's important. I think, you know, with someone like Miley, I mean, when you're around her, I mean, none of what she does really does seem that absurd. It really just seems like, well, she's just doing her thing. And it's only occasionally when you stand back from it that it seems bizarre. But I think that's the same. That's why we are kind of, we like, you know, working with each other and doing stuff. It's like, I don't really feel even like the Flaming Lips. I don't feel like we are like, oh, we're trying to, you know, be weird or whatever. We're just doing our thing. And I can understand it may seem weird to you, but it doesn't seem that weird, you know, to us. I don't mean you guys.
Yeah, we understand.
Weird is good, though. Weird is a good thing. I want to know, actually, how did that project come about? And actually, I will to add on that, a lot of people kind of discredit Miley, but she's a very talented vocalist. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I mean, I can totally understand, depending on, like, what your age was when you were first, you know, I had to confront Hannah Montana or Miley Cyrus or whatever. And I can totally understand that if if you're used to sort of dismissing her as this Disney concoction, which a portion of that is true. And, you know, you could say, oh, that's not real music, is it? But, I mean, you know, she's a maturing, you know, growing artists, you know, and I think that makes it even more interesting that she decides to say, I'm going to do this. And even though you may know that I'm a Disney star and all that, now I'm at a point in my life where I want to do this. And so I think that for when I met her, for a 21-year-old who could do whatever she wanted, really, whatever was going to make her more popular or make her more cute or make her more likable to teenagers, to choose to work with a group like the Flaming Lips when she's 21 years old, I thought, and still do think, that it was insanely radical. And not just to say do it as a publicity stunt or something, just to really do it and make records together and do shows together and embrace each other's, you know, ways of doing things and imagination and all that.
Well, actually, speaking of children's things, are you up on your bandmate Stephen Droz's most recent pursuit with Stephen Burns of Blue's Clues called Stephen?
Yeah. I mean, they've been working on it for a long, long time. You know, it's probably, I think I'm right in saying maybe 9 or 10 years the making of the album, you know, going back and forth and doing different things. And yeah, so long time in the making.
Yeah, so, well, we had Steve Burns on a few months back to talk about that, and it seems like an interesting...
Oh, excellent.
He spoke so highly of, of Stephen Droz. Is it Droz or Drozd? I'm sure I'm butchering it either way, but...
We say it with Drozd, yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, anyway, he spoke so highly of him, and so, yeah, we're excited to hear that. But so let's get into, without me butchering it, as we were off mic again, Oxymelody?
Yeah, I mean, the butchering would not be offensive to me or anything. I mean, it's like, to me, I like it seeming like it is just a funny made-up word, even though they're not. I mean, it's a phrase, it's a Polish phrase that I I came across in this little paperback book that I have in the studio, and never, I didn't give it that much thought as to what it actually meant before we kind of sort of fell in love with just this silly phrase, this oxymelody being the title of our record. But then when we did Google search, what this meant in English or what does it translate to? It beautifully and simply translates into Eyes of the Young, which really was, it's as a title of a record. We, as the Flaming Lips, would probably never call an album or a song Eyes of the Young, mm-hmm. but to come at it through this other filter, to come at it to liking this phrase and the phrase actually having this other meaning, that I think worked really great for giving us some, giving it our album like an otherworldly new, adventure to it. And all albums need that. I mean, it's coming up with titles and nuances and just little flavorings. It's just an impossible task. And you hope as you're moving towards this creation that little things come up that attach themselves to your panic and your, you're thinking, what is this going to be about? What's it going to say? And I think we felt like we just got very lucky that it was this sort of nonsensical title. Wasn't just nonsense on one level, but nonsense to us in the sense that we just liked the way it sounded.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see what happens with the song title and how much thought really goes into these album titles and everything.
To me, it kind of almost has a play on oxymoron, which is kind of a clever little play there too. I like it quite a bit.
Absolutely.
So, well, right. I mean, it's just a funny word, that oxy thing at the beginning. And yeah, I don't know. I think everybody probably has a little bit of something that they bring to it. Even that's probably the beauty of using nonsensical things.
Right.
It doesn't focus you in on saying it's serious and it's about this. It can be whatever you want it to be.
Joining us now is Brian Campbell from your Chicago Blackhawks. I think it was the first goal of the game. Had a goal that was just ridiculous. Kaner's behind the net, does a little bit of drop pass.
Kane carries behind the net, behind the back pass.
Without looking. And Panarin is basically behind the net and just reaches around with his stick.
To Panarin, he shoots, he scores! Artemi Panarin!
And stuffs it home. Did you see the goal?
Yeah, I was at the game, Steve.
Nicely done.
Chicago Blackhawk. Brian Campbell joins Steve Cochran to talk Chicago Blackhawks. Mornings on 720 WGN.
Do you have a painting to sell that is at least 50 years old? Call me, the Antique Lady, at 773-262-1000. Take a look around your home. That old painting on the wall may not be a masterpiece and may not be in perfect condition, but it could be valuable. A Glenview resident received a substantial check for an original watercolor she had planned to sell at a garage sale. A Chicago couple was pleasantly surprised when we purchased their oil painting, which needed restoration to both the canvas and frame. Call 773-262-1000 to schedule an appointment and receive a fair price for your artwork. BJ Antiques has been at 6901 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago for over 30 years. Whether your painting is in the basement, attic, or on the wall, please give me, the Antique Lady, a call at 773-262-1000.
I'm Trina Webster.
And I'm Dan Webster, founders of ZQuiet. Let me be honest, I snored.
Yeah, he did. Crazy loud.
And I was forced to sleep on the couch most nights.
Dan tried everything, including surgery, to solve his snoring problem.
Nothing worked.
So we turned to experts and created a solution that's a total game changer. A mouthpiece called ZQuiet.
Not just any mouthpiece. One that gently opens the airway where the snoring happens. In fact, it's based on the same technology as treatments costing thousands of dollars.
It allows natural jaw movement so you can talk, breathe normally, and best of all, sleep comfortably without making a sound.
And what's really cool is that it couldn't be easier. Just pop it in before you go to sleep to kick snoring out of bed.
So you can sleep quiet
with ZQuiet.
ZQuiet fits both men and women. Try it risk-free for 30 days for just $9.95. Go to GetZQuiet.com or text SNAP to 91011. Go to GetZQuiet.com or text SNAP to 91011.
Oh, Yoshime, they don't believe me, but you won't.
let's get into, without me butchering it, as we were off mic again, Oxymelody?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the butchering would not be offensive to me or anything. I mean, it's like, to me, I like it seeming like it is just a funny, made-up word, even though they're not. I mean, it's a phrase, it's a Polish phrase that I came across in this little paperback book that I have in the studio, and I didn't give it that much thought as to what it actually meant before we kind of sort of fell in love with just this silly phrase, this Oxymelody being the title of our record. But then when we did Google search, what this meant in English or what does it translate to? It beautifully and simply translates into Eyes of the Young, which really was, it's as a title of a record. We, as the Flaming Lips, would probably never call an album or a song Eyes of the Young, mm-hmm. but to come at it through this other filter, to come at it liking this phrase and the phrase actually having this other meaning, that I think worked really great for giving us some, giving it our album like an otherworldly new, adventure to it. And all albums need that. I mean, it's coming up with titles and nuances and just little flavorings. It's just an impossible task. And you hope as you're moving towards this creation that little things come up that attach themselves to your panic and your, you're thinking, what is this going to be about? What's it going to say? And I think we felt like we just got very lucky that it was this sort of nonsensical title. Wasn't just nonsense on one level, but nonsense to us in the sense that we just liked the way it sounded.
I love that.
Yeah. It's really interesting to see what happens with a song title and how much thought really goes into these album titles and everything.
To me, it kind of almost has a play on oxymoron, which is kind of a clever little play there too. I like it quite a bit.
Absolutely.
So, well, right. I mean, it's just a funny word, that oxy thing at the beginning. And yeah, I don't know. I think everybody probably has a little bit of something that they bring to it. Even that's probably the beauty of using nonsensical things.
Right.
It doesn't focus you in on saying it's serious and it's about this. It can be whatever you want it to be.
I love that. So, the songwriting process that you've been using throughout the years has been really interesting. I mean, you started with writing these atmospheric kind of art-to-life songs. What is the transition that you've been making over the years from writing those types of songs in the early 2000s, late 90s, to what you've been writing about now?
Well, I mean, I don't ever really have an agenda of what I feel like I want to say, we don't really write music like that, or we probably have tried and was embarrassed by it or something. I mean, luckily I'm in a group, and so there's always other influences going on, and Steven is a great, great writer as well. And I think a lot of times we play off each other, and he'll have like a really great, powerful melody and chords and a little setting already, but it doesn't have, it doesn't have lyrics and it doesn't have all this, sounds and stuff to it. And I think he knows, or we both know that, it will trigger something in me, and then I'll attach, the effect that his music is having on me, then I'll attach what I feel like it could be about or on to it. And then we sort of go back and forth like that. So I think in that way, I'm very lucky that the things that the powerful melodies and stuff that he likes to write, they have a really great effect on me, And so I want to sing those melodies. And then when I come up with sometimes my very simple sort of songs, they have an effect on him, and he wants to put stuff to it that gives it these nuances and these contrast musical things that a lot of times my music on its own wouldn't have. So I think it's just those great, we're playing off of things that we're listening to, each of us, and don't really have a desire to make up or have an agenda of what we're going to say. Just simply let the music itself be like, I'm just singing what I think the song is wanting to say. And I think that you just hope that you get lucky and it says something cool at the same time, like that it's, effortless or something.
So let's get into that, actually. Do you think this new album, Oxymelody, what separates it sonically from previous albums? Or is it more of the same? And by more of the same, I mean people expecting not the same from the Flaming Lips. Do you get what I'm asking?
Well, I mean, I think to a lot of people, sonicness and production sounds and all that, I don't think that really matters. But, I mean, if you make records like we do, I mean, all those little nuances are what you're doing. You know, it's all the little spice and flavoring you're putting into it. I would say the biggest influence, the biggest difference would be probably that we've hung out with Miley Cyrus for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. and rap and hip hop and have been, you know, and probably have listened to it in times where we are all not thinking we're listening to music. And yet it's, and knowing her producer, Mike Will, and just, you know, being immersed in a completely different world, that I think little by little, it didn't seem that different to us. You know, in the beginning, I think it felt weird, but and then little by little, it didn't. I think that's the influence that you know, had on the way we made this record, because suddenly we were doing things like that we were trying to do with Miley's record, you know, and like, let's try these things. And I think you know, being curious about new sounds and new sounds always push you into saying new things and a new way of seeing stuff. And most groups, you know, that have the ability to be their own producers and songwriters the way we are, they want to be pushed along by sounds and new technologies and new ways of doing things. You know, I mean, you want something to be, you know, like the new, wow, you know, I don't know, how are we doing this? Why are we doing this? You know, anytime that happens, it's exciting. And so it was probably that. I mean, when I hear the way we were making records, even like doing the Terror came out in 2013 or whatever, to this, it's a pretty radical change. But I don't think a lot of people would hear it as being radical, as long as it's I'm singing and, you know, we write a lot of the same types of songs and stuff, but it's we always feel like it's radical, and then 5 years later you think, oh, what is this boring stuff we're doing? You know.
So what has the contrast of fans been like and fan interactions after touring with a group like Miley Cyrus? I mean, instead of like guys coming up to you asking you to sign their guitar, are they asking you to sign, you know, I don't know, their scrunchies and everything? What has that been like?
Well, not so many guys. I mean, I definitely see her. Not teenage audience, but, you know, definitely a younger woman, a freaky young woman audience has attached themselves from that. Yeah. More than we had previous to Miley, which I think is, I mean, I think it's great, because I think that's the thing that Miley would have said to them, you know, mm-hmm. that it's, you know, be yourself, do your thing, listen to the music that you love, and you know, let the music be you, and you be the music, and all that. And so, and I think I see more of that, and it's wonderful. I mean, I think we have just as many guys and stuff that we used to, but if there's anything that we'd say, oh, that's because we worked with Miley, it'd probably be those, and they're right up in the front a lot of times,
yeah.
too. I think that's the thing we saw. Even when we were actually with Miley, we'd see those fans at the front that just, you know, it's not just entertainment to them. It's like they're this is their life.
So we're running out of time here, but if you want to hear the remainder of our interview with Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips, you'll have to head to WGNRadio.com, and it'll be posted there.
Mm-hmm. Check Sound Sessions, or if you want to follow us, subscribe to us on iTunes, go to iTunes.com/Sound Sessions. You'll be able to find our full feed there. Lots of great interviews. Mick Fleetwood, Garth Brooks, Wayne Coyne, anybody that has come through Chicago in the last few months, we probably talked to.
Yeah, we're typically on top of it. We are running out of time. We have to pass things over to Rick Kogan, but quickly here, I just want to do a couple of quick thank yous to Todd and Stephanie for letting us jump on today. It's been a lot of fun. Greg Wyszynski, he talked WrestleMania with us. That was a lot of fun. We talked to Sam Panayotovich, mm-hmm. live from Glendale, who's just probably having the worst time. Mm-hmm. We talked to
King Seiya from our AI guy, which was great. Patty, Pat Berger from Patty Long's and Kaiser Tiger.
Wayne Coyne, the Flaming Lips, for joining
Wayne
us.
Coyne. I wanted to say just a quick hi to my mom, who's also listening, and her friend Mary, who's
You're
also
so
listening.
Sweet.
I try to be. Hi,
Michael's mom and dad.
Thanks, Kev. they're loyal listeners at WGN as well. And thanks to everybody who called in. It was fantastic hanging out with you guys. Thanks for letting us sit in for Brian. I know he's a fantastic guy, too, so thanks to him as well.